This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Ik, and with me, Juliet Jacobs. So today we are looking at the arts community. So following a call from the government for a COVID-19 temporary measures bill, over 300 local arts organizations and individuals have come together to make their recommendations. So we'll be taking a look at what these recommendations are and how they may help our ailing arts and culture sector to recover.
Yes, and if you'd like to join the conversation, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio or send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Let us know your thoughts on this topic as well. So as Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced last week, the government will be introducing a COVID-19 temporary measures bill to minimise the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on various industries. So the bill is expected to be tabled in Parliament in July. And as part of this, members of the public have been called to participate in the process by submitting suggestions for the bill through the Unified Public Consultation website.
So as a response to this, over 300 local arts organisations and individuals have come together to put forth their recommendations for this bill, specifically with the aim, of course, of helping the arts and culture industry locally to recover. And this is following the severe impact on the industry due to both the pandemic as well as the MCO period.
That's right. And as we've been hearing, the arts industry is one of those that have really struggled, you know, because of the ban, of course, mm-hmm. on public gatherings. And even if that becomes a possibility, there's no real telling when people will feel comfortable attending public yeah. performances or exhibitions, right? And with most members of the arts community earning on a project-to-project basis, no shows basically equals to, you know, no income
yeah,
at all.
Right.
A recent survey by the Cultural Economy Development Agency, or Chandana, indicates that 70% of our local arts practitioners have lost all or most of their income, and 56% of these have families to support.
So it's not surprising that this community initiative to make recommendations has actually brought together an industry that is often viewed as working quite separately. Mm. You know, the initiative is supported, as we said, by over 300 local arts organizations and individuals. And if you break it down, you'll see that this includes practitioners from theatre, dance, music, visual arts, folk arts, comedy and literature. And it includes organizations like advocacy group Reformatsi, the Damansara Performing Arts Centre, the Malaysian Writers Society and the Temple of Fine Arts, as well as prominent arts practitioners such as Joe Kukatas, Marion De Cruz and Tiara Jacquelina as well.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that even though we tend to think of our local arts industry as being relatively small, you know, especially because it's often lumped in with tourism, right? It's actually an essential part of our country's economy. According to a 2016 report by Chandana, the arts and culture sector contributed 11.2 billion ringgit to the country, which is over 2% of our economy. And it also generates about 86,000 jobs. So, you know, it's important that members of the arts industry themselves speak up about their challenges and needs, you know, when it comes to the COVID-19 temporary measures bill. And putting out a specific set of recommendations like this is really, really a great start. And to explain what these recommendations are, we have on the line Sheena Gurbakash, who is a member of the local arts community. So thanks so much for joining us, Sheena. So this is a coming together of more than 300 Malaysian arts organizations and individuals to make suggestions for the COVID-19 temporary measures bill. Could you explain who is a part of this and how you guys all came together?
Through the lockdown period, I was reading and seeing a lot of stuff on social media about how arts practitioners were basically floundering. And then there was an article in the Malay Mail, I think, where the government were asking for recommendations for a COVID-19 bill, specifically with regards financial assistance. And I felt it was important that the arts community come together and actually make representation as opposed to just speaking about it. It's very important to engage with policymakers. So what happened was I penned down my initial thoughts and I reached out to a few people, including Joe Kukadas, and said, I think we should do this. And what then happened was it we got input from lots of different arts organizations. Reformatsi came on board. They sent it to their members. Reformatsi has a database of 115 members, 54 arts groups and companies. So they came on board and they sent it out to their members and basically coordinated responses. And meanwhile, we were getting responses from other people that we were reaching out to individually. And all these responses were then collated and put down in a document that we submitted to the government.
So under the recent Panjana Economic Recovery Plan, the Prime Minister did announce a 225 million ringgit allocation for the Malaysian creative industry. So what are your thoughts on this? Were there limitations when it came to the arts industry?
We're delighted that we're getting money. That's awesome. it's always good when allocations have been made. But let's take a look at what these allocations are. We've got 100 million in soft loans with an interest rate of 3.5% mm-hmm. and 30 million in grants for the creative events and exhibition industries and 10 million specifically for Chindana. Then you've got another 50 million, which is for digital marketing and digital marketing ventures. You've got 35 million under the Dana Kandungan Digital under MDEC. So it's basically split between a whole load of different categories. Obviously, some of these categories are much more developed and enhanced. So people who are making film and TV, all of that stopped during this time. Contracts that were in the pipeline were deferred. And then you've got the animation industry as well. You've got the lights and sound, you know, industry, the sound studios and people like that. So the money is basically split across an entire range of activities, of arts-based activities. So you want to ask yourself now, the split between loan and grant. You've got 100 million in loans, you've got 30 million in grants. But arts organizations around the world are in such a way that loans are very, very, very unsustainable. Or they don't really work. If we're looking at an industry that's going to be the last, that is the last to open, it is not opened yet. And we don't know when it will open. And you take a loan. How are you going to repay that loan, even at greatly reduced interest rates? And the other thing is, what happens to people who've taken loans in the past? Are they going to get deferments? Are they going to get interest waivers? Because previously loans were given at between 6 to 8%. So what happens to those people? So we one of the issues is that the emphasis here is on loans rather than grants.
So just going back to the recommendations that the group has submitted for the COVID-19 temporary measures bill, what are the main thrusts?
The main thrust of the submission that we made to the government was basically divided into support for cultural practitioners and arts organizations, and also support for venues, because there's a very symbiotic relationship between venues and performers, or venues and arts practitioners. The first thing is people need to have a decent living wage. They need to be able to sustain themselves over this period. Chindana themselves did a study, and according to the Chindana study, 70% of all arts practitioners had lost virtually all their income over this period. So the first thing that needs to be addressed is people need to be fed. Mm-hmm. That has actually already happened to an extent, because Chindana has rolled out a food aid program for arts practitioners. The other thing that we wanted to address was sustainability. So one of the ways where arts practitioners fund themselves is they do education. And education is a huge part of arts. Whether it is reaching into B40 communities, whether it is reaching into schools, whether it is private tutoring arrangements. This is huge. And basically all of that has come to a grinding halt. Now, we have to recognize that there are some aspects of the arts that cannot be translated online. For example, dance. So one of the things that we wanted was an SOP, for how these things can carry on, taking social distancing into account so that people can actually still continue to practice and learn how to do these things. We also asked for support for venue owners to transform or make provision for online communication and broadcast. Because if social distancing does continue, you're going to suddenly find that if you had a 100-seater auditorium, you might now only be able to use 40% of it because of social distancing. So how do you make up income? Because income is based on heads per show. And if that falls dramatically, then it suddenly becomes not viable. So we need to put, we need to give people facilities to be able to say, yes, we will do a performance, but you can also watch it online. And for this, you need a whole bunch of equipment. So there should be some kind of grant made for that. From a greater systemic issue, we wanted to see the abolishment of deposits for local government. DBKL, for example, asked for 10 grand per show. And if you've got a small show, that's just simply unsustainable because that has to be paid up front. Why are these deposits being taken? We are not entirely sure, but they keep being taken and they are held. So the money that's being held by local government should be returned to arts performers, and they should do away with this. The other thing that we wanted to see from a systemic point of view was a lot of arts practitioners operate on basically a freelance basis. We get involved in projects, we do projects, we get paid, we move on to the next project. There's usually enough work all the time for everybody to get some kind of sustainable income. But one of the early provisions from the COVID-19 response was go and withdraw money from EPF. What if you don't have money in EPF? What if you don't have an EPF account at all? So we wanted one of the systemic things to be to make provision that every time you sign up for a contract, the funders ensure that certain amounts of money are paid into EPF for workers in the industry. And we also wanted more transparency about the funding process and a simplification of the funding process. At the moment, you've got funds are being given, but you have to be incorporated as a company. You have to give 3 years audited accounts. You have to provide other proof of sustainability. This is not always possible. So the paradigm needs to shift, and the application process needs to be made a lot easier. And then you will see money actually being channeled to a more diverse group of people, which is what we really want to see. We want to see money being used for more activities with education, with the young, with marginalized communities. We want to see projects in those spheres so that there's all in all a greater understanding and appreciation for art.
But, you know, Sheena, realistically speaking, are these recommendations implementable given the country's financial situation and the upcoming predicted recession?
I don't think the question should be, can we afford to do it? I think the question should be, can we afford not to do it? Do we want to have an art sector when all this is over? Do you want to sustain knowledge? Do you want to sustain cultural heritage? And if the answer is yes, I think we do. And we have a cultural heritage which is extremely valuable. We have very unique stories to tell. And we really can't afford to lose knowledge, expertise, and there has to be a culture industry for the next generation coming up. So it's not a question of can you afford to. The question is, can you afford not to?
Thank you so much, Sheena. That was Sheena Gurbakash elaborating on the list of recommendations that the Malaysian arts community has submitted to the Prime Minister's office for the COVID-19 Temporary Measures Bill.
Yes, and it really was a good idea for the government to put out a call for recommendations. So let's hope that, you know, after having gone to all that effort, these voices are now taken note of.
Yes.
And that whatever can be done is done.
Yeah, and that, you know, they actually take into consideration everything that, and I mean, they're all very good salient points, and
yes,
you know, a lot of things that we wouldn't even know, right, yes, as non-practitioners.
So. And as we mentioned, right, it's so rare for this very fragmented industry to come together, and so this really takes into account, I think, at least on the surface, all the various sectors within the industry.
That's right.
Yep. So that's all the time we have for today's discussion. Keep sending us your thoughts if you have any about this topic at BFM Radio. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or drop us a line on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, it's another episode of Law and Behold. Juliet will be looking at the constitutional challenge on a provision in the Selangor Sharia law, together with lawyers Ki Hui Yi and Michelle Yesudas. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.